Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. For the sake of refreshing, we'll do a little reading and then we'll get into where we're going. God helped me tonight because he showed me a scripture I've been reading for a long, long time. But then he made me understand what it means. Not only what it means in here, but what it means to me. A lot of times we read these scriptures and we have a outward connotation or a churchy connotation or a religious connotation, but we don't realize what it means to us on the inside of us. Sometimes it's almost like you see people that come to church all the time and you know the word is good, but they don't change. Yeah, it's because it's not hitting home. It's not, they don't know how to apply. It's almost like taking pills and putting them on your skin. And you never take it in. You never take the nutrients in. You never sow that on the inside. And so you have to go from, it's the right word, you go from the word being on the outside to actually it being on the inside and becoming part of who you are. And so the Lord helped me with that tonight. But we'll start in Ephesians 4. Verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in? In what? Y'all reading? Are y'all reading? Forbearing one another in what?
Love.
Love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And where else?
In
you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of who? All right, so remember, it's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it also but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Everybody say, fill all things. Come on, say it again, fill all things. If you got an underline in your Bible, fill all things. We're going to talk about filling and fulfilling in a minute. But fill all things. How many things?
All things,
okay. Fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of... Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to read that scripture again, and I'm going to go kind of slow so you can understand what it's saying. Now, all of this from verse 1 up until verse 13 comes right here, and it says, are we going to do this? Until, see, till right there, you know, we say till, or, you know, we like to say till when we talk until I get there, whatever, right? But all that from verse 1 to 12, we're going to do this, and we're going to keep this going, and we're going to keep pounding this thing till we, how many of us?
All.
Come into the unity of the faith. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
And the knowledge, but not just knowledge, but the knowledge of who?
The Son of God.
We're still talking about Christ here. Unto a perfect man. Perfect has to do with mature, whole, fulfilling your purpose, right? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we get there, we are going to be doing the same things.
Yes,
you get it? We're going to have the apostles and the pastors and the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, all those, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be for the perfecting of the saints. We're going to be getting perfected. We're going to learn the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body. Until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So I understand the knowledge of the Son of God is not just knowing about Jesus. Even when you see knowledge of something, that of means from that thing. So if I'm coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, that means I'm coming to knowledge. I'm having knowledge coming from me just like it's coming from Jesus. So until I get like that, I need to be trained. Until I get like that, I need to be under. And actually, you never get from under, but I need these fivefold ministry gifts is what we call them, right? I need these to be training me on how to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Then it even goes further and says, unto a perfect man, right? And then it says, unto the measure. So I'm coming unto the measure. So I'm measuring up to the stature, the fullness of Christ. So now when you measure me, it measures just like Christ measured. And I know it's not a physical stature thing, but if Christ's arm was this long, then my arm need to be that long too. You get it? If Christ's legs were that long, then my, spiritually, you get me? All right, y'all understanding me? Yeah. However high he stands, that's how high I need to stand. Yeah. You get it? Whatever weight that he carries when he steps, that's the same weight I need to carry when I step. You get it? Unto the measure. You get it? Mm-hmm. Of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Watch this. This scripture is not talking about preachers. And preachers can fall into that category. But it's talking about all this other junk that's going on all day long to get you to forget who you are. All of these other things and all of these other ideas and all these other conversations and all these other things on TV and on the radio and all these other things that come up, all of them that are trying to get you to forget who you are in Christ. Are y'all getting it? That we henceforth, so it describes right now being childish. If you're caught up with all these other things, you're childish. If you're letting all these other things take your attention, it's a childlike manner. Be no more children tossed to and fro than carried about with how many? Every wind of doctrine.
That's right.
By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up where? Mm-hmm. Into him in how many things? Oh. Which is the head even. Right. So now he's making a point. Grow up into him in all things. Growing up into him in all things. Growing up into him in all things. I'm going to say it again. Growing into him in all things. Say it.
Growing into him in all things.
One more time.
From
whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I can keep on reading, but I don't want to keep. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, not just of myself, but in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Now what he's talking about, the vanity of their minds, they're trying to have a morality mentally. They're trying to have a status of their minds. Why do you think, and I have no problem with this at all, when you have everything in place, all right, get what I'm saying? Everything needs to be in place and lined up properly. I have no problem with this, but why do you think that society pushes formal education so much? You go get a degree, go get this, go finish going to school, go do this, get certified for this, because they're trying to do something, they're trying to be certified in their minds,
yeah.
But it's vanity. Even Solomon said, all these things I've done is vanity and vexation in the spirit. So you can get all these things accomplished, but if I never come to the knowledge of the Son of God, if I never come to the knowledge of the Christ, then I'll never be effective in this life. You get me? Because that's the goal. The goal is come to the knowledge of the Christ. And I'm going to tell you where you come into the knowledge of the Christ at in a minute, all right? But come to the knowledge of Christ. All of these things, don't walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanities of their mind. I look up the word vanity, and I looked it up in the strong thing and start talking about how you tried to be, you're trying to be more, or you're trying to be up to par in your mind. In your mind alone. And you never go further than that. You get it? Vanity of their mind, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, wow, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. We're just talking about your mind, we're still talking about your soul, the blindness of their hearts, who being past have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You get it? If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So now your mind, now we're talking to your mind again now.
Yes.
You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes.
That means that you're going to need your mind to get renewed to your spirit.
Yes.
I get Philippians 2:5. Who know what Philippians 2:5 says? Anybody Philippians 2:5? Nobody? Let this mind be in you is also in who?
Christ Jesus.
Now they made a point to say Christ Jesus. Are you understanding me? Let that same mind, so that mind, let that mind be in you. Let that same mind be in you. Don't let your mind be up on all these other things, but let that same mind be in you, because anything outside of Jesus is vanity. Anything outside of Christ, the anointed one, anointed, the burden removed, yoke destroying power, anything outside of that is vanity. How many vain things do we do? How much vanity do we have going on because it's outside? I'm not talking about outside of church service, outside of Christ. Are you understanding me? And so now you're renewed in the spirit. You're renewed in the spirit. Say renewed in the spirit. Come on, say it again. Say renewed in the spirit. One more time. Say renewed in the spirit. Pause. Of my mind. Are y'all understanding it? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, Montreal, how do I do that? Well, what's been on your mind? What have you been feeding your mind? What is the conversation of your mind? Who has been speaking to your mind to tell you who you are? Who's been giving you identity? Has Christ been giving you identity? Has your mind been submerged in Christ to the point to where Christ will die? Are y'all understanding me? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where's the renewal going? To the Christ nature on the inside of me. All right? So now we're here. We're still talking about church. All right? And I still want to consistently talk about this, because I think that through religion, and I do a lot of studying of history and through times and different things, that we still have a bad connotation of what church is and who the church is. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Say, I am church.
I am church.
All right. And we still got to pound that in our heads, because we still thought we went to church yesterday. Didn't we? Huh? Come on, answer me. Come on. Would you know if somebody asked you, what you doing tomorrow? I'm going to church. When you are church. Tell me what kind of church service will be if ain't nobody there. Get it? I am church. Say it. And you got to pound that through your head, because if you don't realize, you never come to a revelation of the Christ in you. All right? It goes together. All right, Matthew chapter 16. So Paul hit in Ephesians. He just pounded away. And we use that chapter for a lot of ministry helps meetings and a lot of church training and church building meetings, but sometimes it never hits home because it don't hit home. It don't hit to where the truth is. It never hits on the inside. Once again, I'll say it again, we hear a lot of messages, but why don't things change sometimes? Because we don't let it hit the inside. We don't let it be planted all the way on the inside. So here we are now, Matthew chapter 16. So time out before we read. So Paul is telling us in Ephesians 4, which is after this chapter, all right? It's after Matthew's happened, but he's telling us, listen, I'm up here talking to y'all, and I'm preaching to y'all, and I'm going to keep on preaching to you, and I'm going to keep on preaching to you, and I'm going to preach the same thing, and we're going to go from verse 1 to 12 until we get to 13, right? I'm going to keep on preaching the same thing, because faith comes by what? Yeah. And hearing, all right? So I'm going to keep on preaching the same thing until you realize who you are. I'm going to say it over and over again until you come to the knowledge of the Son of God in you. And then when we got another service, I'm going to come and tell you the same thing, because obviously you ain't get it. And I'm going to keep on doing that same. So Paul is telling me, you got to come to the knowledge of Christ. You got to come to the knowledge of Christ. You got to understand Christ. You got to come to the knowledge of Christ. You got to measure up to Christ. It ain't going to work no other way. This is the only way that it works, that you measure up. Don't be like the children, talk to him for measure up to Christ. Learn Christ. Are y'all with me? So now we understand that you really can't be church without Christ. You're wasting your time. If you go to a church service and Christ ain't revealed more in your heart, you waste your time that morning. You go to a church service, you read a book, you read a message, you read a chapter, and Christ ain't expanded on your in your understanding, you wasted your time. It's vanity in your mind. Are y'all listening to me? So now here we go, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and you know, you've heard this before, but God gave me a clear connotation of how it goes. When we got this thing we call we call your text interpretation. When you're texting, anybody texting? Y'all be texting? Y'all be texting? And sometimes when you're text somebody, you can't really hear the tone of their voice. So you can really misinterpret something. You know, they put an exclamation mark over, are you yelling? Who you yelling? Who you hollering at, right? Or you see different things, right? Sometimes you can misinterpret things by text because they're just words. They don't have a voice. They don't have a sound. There is no air behind it. It's just words, all right? You got me? So sometimes you can misinterpret the text. Like, we have text in the Bible. Like, turn to this text. The typing on the paper. So sometimes we can be reading that scripture and misinterpret the tonage. Yes. Misinterpret, my mom used to tell me, she fussed at me, and we look, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know, I don't know if some of y'all ever heard this. The tone, just a tone, the way things are. Sometimes you miss a tone. Sometimes I can say, come here and sit down. Right? Same words. Come here and sit down. We got a different ball game now, right? Like, it's a different thing because of my tone. Oh, I didn't change the word. The word didn't change. Oh, that's good. That's good. The word didn't change, but the tone. The word didn't change, but come here and sit down. Come here and sit down. Come here and sit down. Which one you going to hear better? But the volume changed. The volume and the volume changed. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So because the volume changed, it hit home a little better. Okay. Are y'all listening? Yeah. So sometimes we can have bad text interpretation, and God fix my text interpretation when I'm reading this scripture, and I hope that you'll be able to see it. Verse 13, he said, when he came forth from the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Are y'all with me? And Simon Peter, who answered? Simon Peter answered. Simon, we know his name is Simon Peter, right? Peter, right? We know Peter, right? Simon Peter answered and said that thou art the Christ. Listen to the terminology. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are y'all seeing that? Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven is powerful, ain't it? Now watch this, verse 18. And this is how I normally read it. I'm going to show you how I normally read it, but then I'm going to show you what the Lord showed me just now while I was getting ready for this class. And I say also unto thee. So in other words, he's saying, so I you just said something, I'm going to say something to you. Okay. So I'm going to say also to you. Like, I love you, Montrell. Okay, I'm going to also say that to you. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to say, listen to me, say the same thing. I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Now, I used to read like this. I say also indeed, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I jump in the next verse. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt bind in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth, shall be loose in heaven, right? And we read through it all fast because we become familiar with it. Yeah. And I became unfamiliar with the scripture for a quick second, and God changed the tone. And listen to what he says. So Peter says, Simon, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and I say also unto thee, y'all ready for this?
Yes.
That thou art Peter. Uh-huh. All right, let me turn it out. All right. Peter said, you listening? You listen to me? Peter said, Peter said, thou art, can you put it in 2016? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Jesus going to say, well, you're blessed, Peter. You're blessed, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father's in heaven. He said, I'll say also unto you that you are Peter. Are y'all catching it? I don't know if you're catching it. It's just like he asked, just like he said, thou art the Christ. He said, you are too, Peter. Y'all see that? Sometimes we can miss, because y'all know y'all read that before. Then he's talking about, thou art Peter. So, who is Peter, right? What kind of power does the name Peter have? Well, we already knew he was Peter, because it says Simon Peter answered. Then he said Simon Barjona. So we knew, but he was making a point. He didn't say, he made it a point. Oh, here we go, you ready? He made it a point, so it'll be specific to the one that got the revelation.
That's it.
Come on, y'all catching this?
Yeah.
So he said,
And I'm going to say this to you. Because I clearly, boy, you blessed. This is why he's talking. Boy, you blessed because ain't no way you to figure this out by yourself. Or nobody could. It had to, you had to be connected to something higher. So here we go. What verse we in? Verse 18. He said, and I say also unto thee that you are Peter. You are Christ. Let that sit with you for a minute. You get it? And now I understand. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Because I know Peter. Hold on. See, I know Peter. Uh-huh. I know Peter after this moment. Yes. I know a few scriptures over, he called Peter the devil. Yes. So it couldn't be that you a rock because you Peter.
No.
And I remember also Peter did some other stuff. Peter was the same one that started cussing when they asked him, wasn't you with Jesus? I don't know him, and started talking all out of his mouth and denied him 3 times. Right. Peter was the one that went back fishing because he didn't think he was going to get up. Uh-huh. I know Peter. Peter wanted to cut that man. Y'all know Peter. That's the same Peter. So it could have been because you, Peter. So maybe he was saying something else. And you are, Peter. Are y'all with it? Now be my church. And thou art Peter. You are Peter. Everybody say, you are Peter.
You are Peter.
Now say your name. Say you are and say your name.
You are.
Yeah, because that's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling you. You get it? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church upon this rock, not that rock. It's funny that Jesus was he's very specific about what he was saying, and these words that he was using were very descriptive of which one he was talking about. He said, and you are Peter, and upon this rock, not that one, because they got rocks over there, but this rock.
This rock, right here.
You get it? I will build, not the church. He didn't say the church. He didn't say a church. My church. Are y'all seeing this? Come on, we breaking this down, ain't we? This is going to break down. Upon this, you are Peter. All right, so here we go. Then we talk to a group of people. But it doesn't matter if we come. Oh, Lord. I look at the word church, and it was talking about what people really used it for. And it was talking about a place of worship. And for people to congregate and come together and have a place of worship. And bless God for us congregating together. But how many people come in the congregation and never have a revelation?
Come on.
So now the scripture says the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. Not tradition. It's not tradition. It's not tradition that did it, because you praying every day is a tradition. All right, listen to what I'm trying to say. Something traditional is something that you do on a regular. Like you know, something you're doing on a regular. So you're getting up and going to work can be a tradition. A more frequent tradition than other things, but it's still. You get it? So it's not that it's tradition. It's traditions of that made the word of God of none effect. And y'all listen to me well. Everybody say amen. Listen to me well. What has happened in the church, what has happened is we've allowed the enemy to give us another connotation in what we really are. And so now we think the building and the moment and the service and the songs and the clapping and everything is church when you are church. But wouldn't it be confusing? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great for me not to know that I am what I think I'm going to? Because now the power is misplaced. Now the power has become misplaced. And now I think I don't have power till I get to that building.
My God.
And even if the power show up in the building, I don't feel like I could take it nowhere. The trick. You see the trick?
Yeah.
Traditions of men. The trick of the enemy. He don't want you to know. So now here we go. He says, you're blessed. Boy, you're blessed. He said, because flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father is in heaven. He said, and you are. I'm going to say this. I'm going to also say this to you. You know what he said in the verse? I say this also to you. I say also to thee. So in other words, I'm going to say this also to you. Like, I'm going to say it to you too. You just said to me, now I'm going to say it to you too.
Yes.
You are Peter. Mm-hmm. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And the gates of, because I'm wondering why the gates of hell have been prevailing against these buildings, against these organizations, against these, we didn't know who we were, against these institutions. Y'all get, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, the gates of hell. Oh no. Let's not talk. Let's not talk like we don't know what's going on. The gates of hell have been prevailing against these institutions. Oh, they winning against the institution. Oh yes, they are. But if the individual would stand up and realize that I am church,
yes,
can't prevail against that.
That's it.
The victory is on the inside of you. You get it? But if you don't know, coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, if you don't know that you are Christ, if you don't know that you are the anointed one, what does Christ mean? Come on. The anointed one is anointed. If you don't know that you are the anointed one and his anointing, now remember, it's his anointing. You get it?
Yes.
But you are. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again until we come into the knowledge of the face of the Son of God. Like you said in Ephesians 4, I'm going to keep saying this until we come into the knowledge, right? You are. So now, you are Peter. You are Christ, Peter. And upon that rock, this rock, you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Upon this rock, I'll build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. He started making it personal. But it was predicated on, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. It's predicated, and predicated is a deep word. This had to happen first.
Yes.
What had to happen first before I could say that you a rock, that you Christ, and you the rock, and I can build on top of you? What had to happen first was the revelation of Christ.
Yes.
Whoa, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. All right, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? For the effecting the same, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body, right? Here's what he's saying, and then he's talking about to the measure, stature, fullness of Christ and all that. Watch this. You got to see Christ in the man first before you see it in you.
All right. Hallelujah.
You got to.
Yeah.
You got to. You had to be able to see Christ in Jesus in the flesh first before you ever realize it's in you. All right, my child, don't get ahead of yourself. Let's see. Are we going to Romans? Nope. Let's see. Let me make sure I don't want to go here first. Romans 8, then we'll go over to Matthew 5. Romans 8, listen, Romans 8, verse 1, and we'll read to where I'm trying to get to. But let me say this first. You're going to have to realize Christ in them. That's why the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there, so that you can see Christ in them, to see Christ in you. See, the law. Everybody say the law.
The law.
Come on, say it again. Say the law.
The law.
Come on, say it again. The law.
The law.
The law could not do it, nor could you do the law. The law couldn't do you. It couldn't change you. And you couldn't do the law. Why? Because there was no blood. There was no flesh. See, if I got this is why this book is very dangerous. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten it for you, and go deeper into who Christ is, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means what that's trying to tell you, Jesus came and did it in the flesh. Right? You listen to me. Many times, church in 2016 is still built on the law. It's still trying to tell you, so young people come to me and tell me they got a problem, or some family come and tell me they got a problem, or some marriage come and tell me they got a situation. I go and start showing them the scriptures on it and telling them to go read the scriptures instead of being Christ and speaking to it.
That's it. Yeah.
And so now the problem, it just continues on.
Yeah.
The habit continues on because there is no deliverance because you have not been delivered. Are y'all understanding me? There is no upbringing because you ain't brought nothing out. And so now we begin to point to the, you get it? I got it. Search the scriptures. John 5:39. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they will testify to me, but you won't come all the way to me. Get the point. So in church many times, we preach in service, in corporate gatherings. I'm going to say that differently now. I want to say this so you understand, so we don't get confused about where church at. All right? And I may not be able to preach that in somewhere else, but I'm going to say it in this class, this church unusual, all right? All right? So now when we're in these gatherings, in these corporate gatherings, a lot of times, a lot of messages, they're preached about that and not revealed who that is. Mm-hmm. See, the whole thing is talking about who that is.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Bible is talking about who that is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Bible ain't talking about what you do. It ain't about what you should or shouldn't do or how you should or shouldn't. No. The Bible talking about who that is. The Bible talking about who that is and who you are. Mm-hmm. It ain't, that's not a book of rules. That's not a basic instruction before leaving earth. That's crazy. Don't tell nobody that ever again. Please, all right? I know it's cute that somebody got it and it was cute for the time. It's more than instructions. It's identification.
That's it.
Basic identification. You want to do that one then? Let's do that one. Basic identification. Yep. Bless it. Whatever you want to call it, your little acronym. Go ahead. That's identification. That's about you. You will not fulfill that until you realize it's him. Are you understanding me? Until you come into a revelation. So now the scripture says Romans 8. Come on, start reading chapter 1. I mean, verse 1. Ready, read. How much condemnation?
No.
Not in the institution of church. No. We got to throw that scripture away. We got to get rid of verse 1. We got to get rid of verse 1 because we built on condemnation. We got to scratch that one out. Hold on, but what did it say? Read it again. Ready, read?
There is therefore now, all that description.
There is therefore now. He's trying to make a point. You get it? Trying to make a point. Then what it says?
No.
There is therefore now. Not much condemnation. No, he says, no. Come on, but keep going.
To them
who are in where?
Christ Jesus.
Oh, verse 2.
All
right, we're talking about law now, right? We still talking about law, right? But it's a different law, right? Read it. Go ahead.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ.
Stop. For the law of the Spirit of life. Look all them places. Y'all see all them places in there, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all saw them places? No, y'all ain't seen them places. Y'all ain't seen them.
Yes.
Don't even see of is talking about a place. Mm-hmm. Every time you see of, in, on, that's a place. So read it again.
For the law
where?
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit. That's place. Come on.
In Christ Jesus.
Come on. No, you skip something. Go to the law of the Spirit. Of life. So come from life, from the Spirit, and from life where? In Christ Jesus, what it did?
Has made me, is past tense.
That means it's already happened. Has made.
Yes.
Who?
Me.
Me what?
Free.
Mm.
Free.
And then we get the scripture, free from what?
From the law of sin and
death. All right, you see that? So the law then freed me from the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This law freed me from that law. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me? This law freed me from that law. Now, the problem with the hyper grace message right now is they say no law. They say all grace, no law, but they don't realize grace works by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How do you not, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, right? What he's saying is, like, as long as the earth remaineth, these things that I put in play are going to last. The law of gravity ain't going nowhere. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm just using that for an example. You can't function without the law of gravity, because that would kept your car on the road when you was here, all right? So you can't overrule the law just because you don't like a law, or just because you don't understand what it's talking about. That law put me on another law. You get it? This law freed me from that law. The law that couldn't do it for me. Verse 3. I'm jumping ahead. Verse 3. Go ahead.
For what the law could not do.
For what the law could not do. Why?
In that it was weak.
It was weak. How?
Huh?
Now, from the time they got the Ten Commandments, from Genesis up until Moses got the Ten Commandments, it was the wild, wild west. They didn't know what was going on. Everybody was doing everything. Everybody was touching on everybody. Everybody was killing everybody and just expecting everything to be all right. So God dropped this law in, because it wasn't time for Jesus yet. He dropped. But ever since the law, and I don't know how he gave him 10, but then we end up with 200 something.
Yes.
Traditions of men, right? Ever since then, people have been trying to do it and been failing. They could not keep it. You can't keep it right now. You can't keep it right now on your own.
No.
If you think you can, that means you lost already. Mm-hmm. Are y'all listening to me? So what the law could not do, and that it was what?
Weak.
Weak through what?
The flesh.
Come on, keep reading.
God sent his own son.
God sent him what?
His own son.
What kind of son it was?
His own.
Make a point, right? Right? He didn't say, I sent a son. He said, I sent my own son, right?
That's
right?
It.
And what he said?
In the likeness,
come on, we're breaking this stuff down now. In the likeness of what?
Sinful flesh.
Oh, so, okay. Oh, sinful flesh. Because
mm-hmm.
The law was weak in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent my son in that same kind of flesh.
Yes.
Are y'all understanding something? Right? Mm-hmm. In the likeness of the sinful flesh. What? Mm-hmm. And then what it says?
And for sin, condemn sin.
Where? So now here we go. Jesus comes in the sinful flesh that we've been failing in.
Yes.
Listen to me. We don't know what's being said to us when we read about the crucifixion. And we get so caught up and emotional and all up in the air that we don't know that he's describing something to us. He's describing that it was just like you.
Yes.
So when he bled, you bleed.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes.
When he was tired, you get tired, don't you? So he's trying to say that in that same kind of flesh that you complain about,
come on,
that you say that you can't make it in, I'm going to send my son in that same kind of flesh and condemn sin or everything other than God's will in that.
Uh-huh.
That's sin.
Yeah.
Everything other than God's will.
Uh-huh.
That's sin.
That's
so I'm going to condemn everything other than God's will in that. The scripture says, condemnation. We'll jump up in a minute, but condemnation. We're so built on condemnation. And Jesus said, listen, John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? Go over there real quick. Cause we don't read past that one so much. We get to shouting on that one, but we don't read verse 17. Anybody, whoever get there first, just start reading. John 3:17. It's John 3. This is my, I don't know what you're talking about. John 3:17. For God sent his not son to what?
Into the world.
For what?
To condemn.
Oh, so God ain't sent Jesus to condemn the world. What are we doing?
Condemning.
What are we doing? Oh, shoot, huh? Yeah. Everybody say shoot. Everybody say shoot, God dog it. Look, what have we been doing? Verse 17, read it. Go ahead, read it. Ready, read. He ain't sent him here to condemn us.
No.
There's another time Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Why are you condemning yourself? Don't let them condemn you either. So read it again. Come on, mama. Say it till we understand it. Read it again. Ready, read.
God sent not his son into the world.
Now, it's not. Hold on. What color? What color them words are?
Red.
Okay, so there's not nobody else talking about it, right? There ain't nobody else, right? That's Jesus talking about himself and what God did with him, right? Read it again. Listen to me. I found out why Jesus talked in third person so much. Ooh, y'all get nervous about this one. He talking third person because you the third person. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Read it. Look at it. He said, for God did not send his son in the world. What was he talking about? He could have said, for God didn't send me into the world. Why didn't he say that? Why he didn't talk like that? Why? Jesus was very intelligent. He knew exactly what he was doing. And we understand that a few things about Jesus. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I only do what my Father tells me to do. So if I do it, it's God's will being done right before you. So however you heard it, that's how God wanted to say it, right? So God, the Father didn't send his son. Oh. So he just wasn't talking about himself. He said his son because he's talking about y'all, because his son and you too.
Yes.
You a son. The only reason you don't be a son because you don't realize you are a son. You know, really all those people out there that we call sinners and heathens and all these different things just have a revelation problem.
Yeah.
All they have is a revelation deficiency. Oh, that's a good one. They just have a revelation deficiency. That scripture in the Bible says he who do evil, he just ain't seen God. Mm-hmm. Well, how we take them through the 12-step program? And we just show them Jesus. So now he said, "For I he ain't sent his son in the world to what?
Condemn.
Keep reading.
But that the world through him might be saved.
The world what?
Through him.
The world what?
Through him.
The world, oh, the worldly people?
Yeah.
Worldly people? Oh, that the world through him might be saved. It is not about condemnation. We got to get off of that. This is my side journey for a quick second. We cannot build our congregation on condemnation. We can't build it on that. It's all about coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of who he is. So now God sends Jesus in the likeness of that same flesh that you complain about whenever you complain about it, what you can't do. How you can't make it. How long you can't pray. How long, how short your attention span is. How much power you don't have. Says who? The only reason you think you don't have enough power is because you've been fooled. You've been tricked. You're like a child. You've been tossed to and fro. Have you ever seen them throw the kids around with the little kids and be like, oh, that's what happened with you with the world system. The world system just pick you up out of the chair and just throw you up in there. Just throw you up in there and just drop you if they want to. And you submitted yourself to that. The only reason more things don't happen inside in your life is because you don't realize who you are from the inside. You don't realize that you are Christ. You are Christ. And upon that rock, I'll build my church. Are y'all seeing that? Upon that, I'm going to build a church. I didn't send him. I gotta go back to Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit, there was definitely no condemnation. Then which in Christ Jesus walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't know why people be fighting sin and fighting evil. You're already free if you walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
For what the law could not do, and that it, I could keep reading verse 8. The law could not do, and that it was chapter 8, weak through the flesh. God sent his own son to likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, meaning the law meant good.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant for good. There's some righteousness in the law. That the righteousness of the law might be what?
Fulfilled
where?
In
us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I keep on reading, but I got to go over here to Matthew 5 real quick before we end this class. Matthew 5, because Jesus makes a statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, right? Are y'all ready? Come on, Matthew 5. Come on, Matthew 5. The Beatitudes, and he keep going on and on and on and on, all right? I'll start verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Listen to what I'm saying. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses savor, it loses flavor, it ain't salty no more. Then it ain't nothing but some dust. And from dust you came, and from dust you're going to return. Are y'all hearing me? So it ain't good. Ain't no good. Verse 14, he starts telling you what it is. What color are those words again? Okay, all right. He said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hid. You are. Neither do men. Now John 1 starts talking about he the light. But then he right here telling you the light. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are y'all with that? Verse 17, don't you think that I came to destroy the law? You see it? All the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Yes. That same thing I said over in chapter 8 of Romans. I came to fulfill that law. I came here not to destroy or to tell you, hey, that's over. No. I came to show you how to, listen, if we just leave it up to the Bible, you'll never make it. That's a tough statement. That's some advanced message, huh? You can't say that when somebody cuss you out in church then, huh? No, if you just leave it up to that Bible with the paper and those words, you'll never make it. If that don't ever become flesh, you'll never know how to live it. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen to what I'm trying to say to you. If that stays in there and never lives in here, and it had to be done through Jesus in the flesh, because otherwise we'd have had an excuse. Otherwise, we'd have had an excuse on why not being more than what we are. Later on in chapter 5 right there, he said, I came to fulfill the law. And Jesus said, somebody said, thou shalt not kill. But I said, if you get angry.
Yes.
And you say, but I'm going to one-up you. I said, don't even think about it. You get it? He's trying to tell you what level it's on. You get it? You are. You are. Everything is making you understand you are. Are y'all understanding me? And I got to go. You ain't going to get nothing done until you come to that revelation. You can forget it. Matter of fact, stop your life right now. People don't want to hear that. Stop your life. All your little missions and all the stuff and all your aspirations and your goals and all that, stop. Because you don't even know who Jesus is yet. So stop it. Just quit it. Put it on pause right quick. Because you're wasting your time. Put it on pause. All your little goals, your aspirations, all your ministries, all that. Put it on pause. Stop that. Then you come to, because there ain't no rock. You building your house on the sand. Right? Would you build a house on the sand or build a house on the what? Mm-hmm.